The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
We are looking at the issue that what does it mean to be the Shia of Ali? And the way of answering that question is to look at the companions of Ali. And so we come to one of the companions, Miqdad. Again, Salman, Abu Dhar, Miqdad, Ammar, these are the people who were known as the Shia of Ali during the lifetime of Rasulullah. Miqdad bin al-Aswad, his actual name is Miqdad bin Amr al-Bahra'i. He was an Arab from an Arab tribe between the Arabian Peninsula and Sham those days. And because of the strife and problems in that area, his father migrated to Mecca. But you know, during the old days there, if you are an outsider, you would not have your security of your life or property unless you attach yourself to one of the local tribes and they become your halif or kafil. Those who have worked in the Middle East, you know. If you want to even start a business there, you have to have a local partner. And there is no guarantee he might take away everything and legally you don't have anything. So he's your kafil, basically. Once you are attached to him, then his protection would be extended to you also. So Miqdad's father, when he migrated to Mecca, he became client, this is the term used, mawla, halif, of the tribe, the clan known as Abu Zuhra of Quraysh, one of the tribes in Mecca. And so this person from Abu Zuhra became his kind of sponsor. And with that, you know, now he would have all the privileges and security and safety to live in Mecca and do his business. And this person's name was Aswad, Al-Aswad bin Abdul Zuhri. Later on, this sponsor ended up adopting Miqdad. And according to the Arab tradition before Islam, you know, his name was now changed, Miqdad bin al-Aswad. And that's how actually even he's known even now popularly. Later on, when Islam came and Islam abolished the system of giving the name of other people to, you know, your family name, then he again became Miqdad bin Amr al-Bahra'i. He's among those who became Muslim during the very early days. Among the first seven people, Miqdad is counted among them. But because he was adopted by this Zuhri family clan, he could not publicly, you know, support Rasulullah or claim that I'm a Muslim. He lived in Taqiyya. Until the opportunity came in the first year of the Hijrah that he was able to join a group of Muslims under Hamza, who were around, you know, close to Mecca at that time, coming from Medina, just as a surveillance group, you know, the military mission they had. And this is where Miqdad joins them and basically runs away from Mecca and goes to Medina. He was a very courageous fighter from before Islam. And because of that, you know, he also participated in all the battles with Rasulullah, and he had a very, you know, active role. Especially, he was known to be somebody, a champion on, you know, fighting on the horse. So he was sometimes known as Faris Rasulullah. And he also was many times assigned the duty of guarding Rasulullah during the battle time. So he's also known as Haris Rasulullah, the guard of Rasulullah. However, the good quality about Miqdad, and this is something we have to keep in mind, you know, having a sword or knowing how to, you know, fight is not sufficient. You should also understand your cause. You should be a responsible fighter. Why you are doing this? And there is a very interesting conversation between Miqdad and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which is also quoted besides our own books, even in Bukhari. And this is a hypothetical situation that Miqdad is asking Rasulullah. And it's a living question because it's relevant to the Muslim world even now. He says, Rasulullah, if suppose I'm fighting with the kuffar, and, you know, I am there with this kafir, we are fighting against one another, and then for a moment he is able to gain upper hand, and he cuts my hand. But then I attack him more severely. And he jumps and goes on the tree, on the branch of the tree. And when I'm very close to end him and kill him, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. What do I do at that time? Now look at the circumstances. Of course, this guy is just saying it to save his own life, because he was fighting him. He even cut his hand. And Rasulullah says, you can't do it. You can't kill him now, because he said the shahadatain. And Miqdad said, but look at the way he was fighting with me. He even cut my hand. Rasulullah then says, Miqdad, if you kill him after he says, La ilaha illallah and Muhammadun Rasulullah, then your status will change. Your maqam will change. He will be in the place of a Muslim, you will be in the place of kafir. So this issue of sanctity of a life is very important. In warfare, of course you will fight, but if the opponent ends up and saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, even it might not be, you cannot really know what is in his heart and mind. But once he utters the kalima, you cannot kill that person. But what is happening there? In Syria and Iraq, look at the attitude of those who call themselves Islamic State. Look at in Afghanistan. Even in Pakistan, to some extent, even now in the Afghan-Pakistan border. These are the people who are killing, not just those who are saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. They actually go into the masjid to kill them. And this is where we come to realize that, you know, this is how they have moved away from the true image and teachings and values of Islam. If you really want to see what is Islam, look at the Quran. Look at the teachings of Rasulullah. Look at the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Look at people like Miqdad bin Aswad. They are our role models and examples. Another very interesting description of Miqdad from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Where he says, إِنَّمَا مَنْزِلَةَ الْمِقْدَادِ بِنَ الْأَسْوَدِ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. The position or status of Miqdad in this ummah, كَمَنْزِلَةِ أَلِفْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, it is just like the status of Alif, the first alphabet in Arabic. He says the way Alif there is in Quran, and then he describes it, لَا يَلْزَقُ بِهَا شَيْءٍ. When you write Alif in the beginning, you can't join anything with it. It's by itself. And if you write Alif later on, after some other alphabets, it will be the last one. Because if you join that with something else, it becomes Lam in between. When you join Lam, you know, it's connected to one side and the other side. But if it's Alif, it will be there by itself. And so this is where the sixth Imam is saying that the position of Miqdad is very unique. He's by himself.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.